about the USMCA.
USMCA, right. NAFTA 2.0, USMCA, it's very, very good news for Iowa agriculture. You know, we've got, when Canada and Mexico are our number one and number two trading partners, this obviously is a step in the right direction. We had been hopeful all along that it would be a true tri-national agreement, that we would get Canada to the table, and so it's very, very good news to have this concluded.
Do you have to start lobbying Congress? I'm seeing some stuff about it may even be difficult to get it through in the lame duck.
My sense was that the issue that with Congress having an agreement with Mexico but not an agreement with Canada was actually more of an issue in terms of that congressional approval. So we're all still learning the details here that are in the actual language, but again, I think this is positive news. It's momentum in the right direction, and we'll be hopeful that we'll get congressional approval in time.
It looks like the dairy portion is similar to what was in TPP. How does that work?
That's what it sounds like. Again, getting some details, but what I've gathered is that, yes, it's something that aligns with TPP. So I'm hearing positive indications out of both opportunity to import U.S. dairy products into Canada, but also dealing with some of the issues that we had with how Canada was supporting their export markets and the ability to put product on the ground cheaper than they otherwise would without that government support. So again, details forthcoming, but it looks positive.
The president mentioned ice cream specifically during the. Does Wells Blue Bunny sell ice cream in Canada?
You'd have to ask them. I saw the same thing. I saw the same reference to ice cream. Again, fits under that dairy umbrella. I myself would like to look into that a little bit more, but wouldn't that be great if there were an upside there?
Sorry if there's a repeat. How do you put, looking at this kind of big picture, how much of a dent does this put into what we may have lost?
With the agreement we just signed today, you know, it's every bit helps, right? So we're looking at a significant increase. Taiwan's been a good market for us, and I think it was referenced, you know, something like the seventh largest market for us historically with soybean. This agreement is a significant increase. It gives us something like 90% market share in Taiwan now. So a good market for us. You know, does it replace China in its entirety? No, but it every bit helps to restore that certainty to the market that we desperately need.
How much of it does it replace?
The Soybean Association could probably provide you the specific numbers, but you know, this is why we need to play offense on trade and go out and expand markets, and you know, these types of agreements are just building that certainty back into the marketplace.
How many, China's buying more soybeans from Brazil.
Right.
So what are the other big customers of Brazil that Iowa and the U.S. needs to go after?
Well, and I think there's a story there, right, which is that, you know, even if China shifts their purchasing habits, that will create opportunities around the world. I think you've seen the European Union look to acquire some additional soybeans from the United States. You've got places like Egypt. You've got, you know, clearly here with Taiwan is looking at some additional U.S. soybeans. So you just, you know, all throughout the world, there are markets throughout the Asia-Pacific Rim, I think, that are have an upside potential for us. You know, we also don't want to move on with the idea that we will never import into China again, right? I mean, there's been a lot of work that's gone into this over the course of many decades to build this market. So there's still a tremendous opportunity for us to supply that Chinese market outside of just soybean, pork. We've been out of this market with corn and DDGs and ethanol and beef and poultry for some time. And so there's an opportunity to participate at a much higher rate than what we have in the past.
How much is what's going on out there kind of a third party? There's indications the U.S. is selling soybeans to Argentina. Mm-hmm. Argentina then is selling soybeans to China, which essentially is U.S. soybeans.
We know that soybeans, U.S. soybeans are going south, that's for sure. And so, you know, of course that could happen. And this is a commodity product that we're talking about here. So, you know, I don't know. I can't give much insight into that. But again, there's a certain amount of demand around the world. There's a growing demand around the world when you look at the need for protein production as incomes rise, as populations rise. So there's a significant opportunity out there. How the product flows, what those supply chains look like may change over time.
Also today, sources indicate that when the president's in Council Bluffs next week, you'll be making an announcement about year-round sales of E15.
Right.
These two things together, do they make life easier on the campaign trail for Republican candidates such as yourself?
Well, I'd say, most importantly, what does it do to bringing certainty back into our markets? So what we have, what we've been advocating for and what we've been saying all along is that, you know, we really need to see conclusion to NAFTA, a true NAFTA 2.0. And all indications are is that we will have that. You know, we have advocated all along for additional certainty in our domestic marketplace. The renewable fuels standard, E15, access year-round, limiting small refiner waivers, these are all things that will strengthen that domestic marketplace. So that's what I'm looking at is, are we building certainty back into our markets? And these two things, should E15 become a reality, which we hope it is in short order, those are all positive things.